Okay. All right. Welcome back. We're going to talk about the cross prod today. This is very interesting. It's rather different from the dot product and the scalar prod, for that matter. This kind of stuff in the dot product works in any number of dimensions. Five-dimensional vectors, 10-dimensional vectors, one-dimensional vectors, two-dimensional vectors, three, four. It's all fine. Cross product is only 3D.
I might say it's a little more delicate. So, I'll give
a geometric description of it. You could actually make it into an official definition, but it would take a few extra steps to clarify some things, especially the trickiest part is, what do you mean by the right-hand rule? That's hard to formalize, but let's see here. Here's a geometric version. Okay. U cross V is the vector that is perpendicular to both U and V. Perpendicular to U and to V. And it has magnitude given by this formula here. Theta is the angle less than 180 degrees, less than or equal to 180 degrees, that you get when you have vectors U and V starting at the same place. You represent them as arrows that way, and then you look at that angle between them. And this almost completely specifies it. So if U and V here are parallel to the board, then U cross V has to be a vector that's perpendicular to the board. So coming straight out or going straight in, and I've told you what the magnitude is. So I've almost completely defined it. The problem is, which way? Is it pointing straight out or pointing straight in? There's a little ambiguity here. And the standard way of clarifying it is with the right-hand rule. The problem with that is it's a real pain to try and formalize it, so it's given somewhat informally. Somebody does something with their right hand. Okay. And then in order to make it formal, we give an algebraic definition. Okay, so the right-hand rule is point my hand with palm flat in the direction of U, and I can't bend my fingers more than 180 degrees. Okay, so that's how that's the kind of restriction that forces me to get it right. Okay, so I bend my fingers back, in this case, I don't know, 140 degrees or whatever to V. All right? And then I point my thumb out. And the thumb points out of the board. Okay. So that is, that tells you the direction of the cross product. Is a darker mark. Okay. There's a notation to help with some of this. If you don't want to cast shadows, if you want to try and indicate the 3D more directly, you put a circle around a dot, and that means points out of the board or out of the page if you read it on paper. And a circled X means points into board or into the page if you read it on paper. So I have my hand here and I curled my fingers in the direction of V after pointing my hand in the direction of U, and then the thumb pointed out. So in this picture, if U and V are indeed parallel to the board, then U cross V would point out. And if you formalize the right-hand rule, then this definition is totally nailed down, totally precise. Fortunately, when you make this formal and you do it algebraically, it becomes a lot easier to compute than it might look. And this might look kind of hard. Okay, how do I get a vector perpendicular to U and to V? Okay, that sounds kind of tricky. Once you got that, then you have to maybe multiply it by a scalar to get the magnitude right. And then you'd have to have some kind of procedure figure out, did it follow the right-hand rule? How do you teach a computer how to do that? A computer doesn't have any hands. Algebraic definition that gives you the exact same thing as the geometric one. It's more complicated than definitions we've seen before. Because we've got to satisfy all these properties. Dot product was easier. Dot product was just a number. Right? And you may remember it had a relatively simple formula, at least in 3D. Right? And even in n dimensions, it wasn't that bad, right? But it just went all the way out to U, N, V, N. It's a little trickier here to pull off the same thing. Give it a little shot.
here is the
important thing to note is that the cross product here is a vector. So we've got three different kinds of products that involving vectors that we talked about. Scalar product, dot product, and now cross product. Scalar product, you took a scalar and a vector as inputs, C and U, and you got a vector output, C times U. You just rescaled the vector, possibly reversed its direction, change of magnitude. Dot product, vector, vector as inputs, so two inputs. And we got a scalar as an output. Just a number. It has something to do with the angle between them, but it also involves their magnitudes. The way I think of it is, it's the product of the magnitudes and the what I think of as the correlation between the two vectors. Now we have another kind of product where the inputs are vectors, like in the dot product. But now the output is also a vector. So yeah, it's a little more complicated. So you can think of it as the input is six numbers, right? The three components of each of two vectors. And the output is three numbers, right? The three components of the cross product vector.
One way that I can remember this funny formula here is I try to remember just one of these, and then I do what I call a cyclic substitution. Okay. So if I can remember this one, I can use it to get the others. How do I get to the others? Well, from here to here, I do what I take every two turns into a three, and every three turns into a one. Look, so here's a two, it turned into a three. Here's a 3, it turned into a 1. 3 turns into 1, 2 turns into 3. And then once I have this one, I can get the next one. I just do the same kind of cycle. Now, every time there's a 3, again, turn it into a 1. Every time there's a 1, turn it into a 2. And if you want, you can even go from this one and go all the way back to where you started. Right? And what happens there? Well, every time there's a 1, turn it into a 2. Every time there's a 2, turn it into a 3. And so it's a cycle. Each stage here, we're just a you just think of it as rotating this clock that works on the principle that there's 3 hours and half a day instead of 12 hours. Okay. So you might as well just think of it like this. You know, instead of trying to have a different picture for each of these, just think of 1, 2, and 3 in a cycle. See, if you can memorize any one of these,
Then you can just follow this cycle and get the other two. So memorize one of the components. Sometimes I find it easier to remember this one and then work back to the other two. But if I'm trying to write it out from left to right, it's nice if I can do the first one from memory and then get the others. You just see the cycle like this. 2 becomes a 3, then it becomes a 1, and goes back to 2. This 3 becomes a 1, then 2, goes back to 3. If you like linear algebra, and if you like determinants, you can use this way of remembering it. If you know what a 3x3 matrix determinant is. Yeah. You can check that this is actually the same thing. You have to know all about matrices and determinants for this memory trick to work for you. Deal with all the minus signs. You can see. That it really does match what I wrote up here. If you don't like determinants, don't worry about it. I think it's quicker to just memorize one of these and then cycle around. If determinants help you, then you may want to take advantage of that. So this is the definition, and we need some examples for a definition, of course. Let's let's look at some very easy cross products. What is I cross J? Mm-hmm. So I can actually figure that one out without too much trouble using the geometric definition.
Mm-hmm. I want a vector perpendicular to I and J. I want to have magnitude... Well, it's got to be magnitude of I, which is 1, times magnitude of J, which is 1, times the sine of the angle between them.
Let's see. Well, that's a 90-degree angle right there. Okay, so the sine of 90 degrees is 1. So the magnitude should be
1 times 1 times 1. Okay, 1. And it's supposed to have this direction determined by the right-hand rule.
Okay, so I, J, K, yeah, it's up. It's K. K is perpendicular to I and J, which is required in the geometric definition. It's got the right magnitude, 1 times 1 times the sine of 90 degrees. K is magnitude 1.
And it's got the right-hand rule direction.
Now, remember this little cycle here, the 1, 2, 3? There's another cycle with the cross product. What's this? J cross K. Okay, so again, it's going to need to be perpendicular to J and K. So it looks like I would do the job. The only thing I have to check is the magnitude, right? Let's see. Yes, it's right. Magnitude 1 times 1 times sine of 90 degrees. Because J and K have magnitude 1, and there's a 90 degree angle between them. So it's either I or negative I. Right? Those. And let's see. J, K, I. Yep. Another board there. You can try the same thing with this one. Going through this cycle. See, I replaced the I with the J with the K with the I. So if you want to follow the cycle, think that this would come next, and that's right. K, I, J. Okay. But now here's where things get weird.
J. No, that's not J. This is J. J, this way. I. U. Negative K.
Negative K has the magnitude 1 that we need, according to this demand here. It's perpendicular to J and I, and the right-hand rule is saying that it's got to point down. It's got to be the negative K. And you get the same thing here. K and J, and then I is pointing back that way, into the board. So my interpretation of the I here, to be clear, is I is pointing out of the board in this coordinate system. So this is a negative I pointing into the board. K, J, negative I. So as I think of it, if I'm going with this cycle here, then I get what I expect. I cross J is K, J cross K is I, K
K cross I is J. If I work against the cycle, like I'm going the wrong way, I cross K, I don't end up with J, I end up with negative J.
I, K, negative J.
So this is a very different product than any product you've seen before, because now the order matters.
So there's some ways in which the cross product is, you might say, normal, right? Like it has a distributive property. Just like all the other products you've seen before. If you multiply by a zero vector,
well, then you'd have to have magnitude something times zero, right?
So the only thing with magnitude zero is the zero vector. Okay, no surprise there. Scalar products. If you increase the size of vector u or vector v by 5, right, then the magnitude of the cross product will also go up by a factor of 5 in here. Surprise over here, in that the order matters. Fortunately, there's a simple formula to explain what happens if you flip the order. Okay. V cross U is the opposite of U cross V. Here's another thing if you take a cross product of a cross product, it turns out it's not associative. Okay? And there's actually there's a formula for what it is. it's a somewhat complicated formula. You can look it up. We don't need to get into it today. But it's not associative. So if you have three things and you're going to do the cross product, it makes sense, right? Because the cross product of two vectors is a vector. So take the cross product of that with a vector, get another vector. But it turns out it matters whether you do the U and V cross product first or the V and W cross product first. It's a formula, there's a formula for it. It actually involves some dot products, surprisingly. It involves some dot products and scalar products.
But
that's not it. You gotta be careful with the cross product, just the point here.
Is there one more on my list? Oh, okay. I knew I was forgetting something. Okay. Here's something. What happens if you take the cross product of a vector with itself?
According to the geometric definition, you can see it.
You'd have magnitude. The magnitude would be magnitude u times magnitude u times the sine of the angle between u and u.
Okay.
Angle 0, sine 0.
So we've got magnitude 0. Cross product of the vector itself is 0. Now, if you like, you could prove that from this property, right? If v and u are the same thing, then u cross u is equal to negative u cross u. So this is, in some sense, this is just a special case of that one, but it's really worth pointing out. You can see it directly from the definition in algebraic terms, right? What if u and v are the same thing? Then you have u2 times u3 minus u3 times u2. Well, these are just numbers, so their multiplication doesn't matter in terms of order. Right? So then these would cancel out if u and v were the same thing. And then these would cancel out if u and v are the same thing. And these would cancel out if u and v are the same thing. U1 times a U2 minus U2 times a U1, these just being real numbers, that would cancel out to zero. Here's an example where we actually use the algebra. Okay? Two, three, two times five minus three, two. And then, okay, so 2, 3, 3, 2, now do that permutation there, so now the cyclic permutation there, so now instead of 2, 3, 3, 2, it's going to be 3, 1, 1, 3, so 3, third component, first component, minus first component times third component. And then from 3, 1, 1, 3, we go to, the 3 turns into a 1, the 1 turns into a 2, we get the 3, 1, 1, 3 becomes a 1, 2, 2, 1 here. Okay? So, 1, 2, 2, 1. First component times second component minus second component times first component. Okay, 10 minus 12, 3 minus 5, 4 minus 6. No, I got one of them wrong.
That's true.
Is this right?
I think the second one is 3 times 3.
Yes. Okay. Thanks. I knew this didn't look right. You know how I knew it didn't look right? Because I knew that if I had negative 2, negative 2, negative 2, I would know that, oh wait, this is not going to be perpendicular to those. Right. So this is supposed to be perpendicular. Right, let's check that. Maybe this is vector u, that's the 1, 2, 3, and that's vector v, and we'll call this then w, which will be u cross v. Okay? So the cross product is supposed to be perpendicular, okay, to the two vectors that we took the cross product of. Right? Perpendicular to the factors, you might say. Well, let's see. How do you check if something's perpendicular? Well, remember the dot product is equal to magnitudes times cosine of angle. Cosine of 90 degrees is 0.
So the quick check for perpendicular is just take the dot products. Let's see. What's this one? 1 times negative 2 plus 2 times 4 plus 3 times negative 2. Let's see. Negative 2, 8, negative 6. Yep. 3 times negative 2 for the second dot product, 4 times 4, and finally we add on a 5 times negative 2. Negative 6, 16, negative 10. Yep. The perpendicular.
Geometric definition, we had this property here. So there's an interpretation of this. It's very nice. Here we go. Two U's and two V's. That's easier than trying to remember the loop, okay? Take a U, make a parallel copy. Take a V, make a parallel copy. Let's see if I can draw some parallel lines today. Because the formula for a parallelogram area is you take the base times the height, right? And you can see from that height that you can see where a sine of theta might come in. There's something you can do even beyond this. Okay. You can actually compute some volumes.
This will be a little bit here.
Okay. I'm going to need the colored markers again for this.
So this is really cool.
If I have three vectors, have I called A, B, and C? An interesting little product here called the triple product. And it turns out you can actually switch around how you do the product. You have three vectors, take the cross product of two of them, and then take the dot product of the other one. And to get a volume, take the absolute value, because this can come out negative otherwise. You can't be sure it'll be positive or negative. Take the absolute value, and you get the volume of this is spelling the material here. Parallelepiped made by four U's, four V's. We're on ABC now. Four A's, four B's, four C's. Okay. So red, green, blue. Okay. How do you do that? All right. Okay. A. And then maybe here's two B's. This is going to be a parallelogram face. Okay. It's supposed to be another A. The problem is the two B's aren't quite the same size, are they? One B is longer than the other. More like that. That the parallel P-ped has six parallelogram faces. Okay, so we need the two C's now. Okay, so how about this? C. Another C. Okay, so there's the four C's. I still need two more A's and two B's. So here they come. A. Very nice geometry. Geometry is not everything. Another nice application of this, you know, is in physics. And this comes up in engineering too, at least if you're doing mechanical engineering. Torque. Draw a picture of a wrench or something, right? See, that's a cross product. Okay. Use a Greek letter tau. It also comes into play with electromagnetism. want to understand how a magnetic field can accelerate a particle. Well, it's going to be about cross products. You have a force that's equal to some basically, you'll take the cross product of take the cross product of your particle's velocity with a magnetic field vector, multiply by charge, and then you get the force. Comes up a lot. People didn't just make up the weird cross product because they really liked parallelepipeds. It's because it's pretty handy for understanding how our three-dimensional world works.
See if you've got an example here of the non-associativity cross product. And compute the volume of the ABC parallelepiped and the areas of each of its six faces. One more thing to do here.
Any questions?
Is it X a vector slicer?
Which X?
For the compute A, B, and C. For a more general,
this is a cross product.
It's X.
That one right there.
No,
right next to
the idea when you move through.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's a silly mistake. Yeah, it's just another cross product. Yeah.
turn around.